The Legally Brief podcast is produced by the law offices of Judy Saunders. Legally Brief is a biweekly show that offers opinions and conversations with experts on why abuse exists, what the law is doing about it, and ways survivors can reclaim their lives. If you stop right this second to rate and review this show on iTunes or your listening platform, you will do your part in spreading Legally Brief's mission of creating a world where children can play, gather, and learn free of abuse from authority figures and institutions. And now your host, Judy Saunders.
National governing bodies, those organizations that are appointed in Olympic sports, in each sport to oversee, to promote, to ensure athlete safety, these are national governing bodies. And if you look on TeamUSA.org, their website, they define a national governing body as the instrument or the organization that looks to maximize the potential of a sport at all levels. National governing bodies, or NGBs, look to grow the number of participants in the sport and increase their reach in the United States. Some of the goals and some of the objectives of national governing bodies. They want to increase the volume of the program, emphasize development over results. They want to support cross-training, support the athletes, drive physical literacy development at all ages in their particular sport. So these are just some of the objectives or principles or goals of national governing bodies. And as I was saying, each sport, so for example, if you are in gymnastics, that would be United States Gymnastics. If you're in swimming and you're seeking to pursue that sport at a higher level, be it at the collegiate level or even at the Olympic level, then that's United States Swimming. There's United States Golf. Each sport would have its national governing body. So during this talk, and we'll keep the conversation going in our Facebook group, I wanted to discuss and clarify the role, in my perspective and what I've seen in my practice, that national governing bodies take on. And to clarify for the parents, for the support system of these very talented athletes, of what may happen in practice when a national governing body does not seem to be working in favor of or supporting the athlete. Where does the breakdown in the national governing body? So we heard a little bit about what the ultimate goals and objectives and definition of the governing body is. So that's in theory. What has happened many times in practice? So you as a parent, starting off on your journey with your young, talented, driven child, that athlete 5 or 6, or maybe as young as 3, has picked a particular sport. They are enthusiastic. It brings them joy. I remember hearing and speaking with individuals who stated that their child loved the sport so much that even on vacation, they would implore their parents, beg their parents to give them time to find a place where they can go and practice that sport. So you have a driven individual who is called. They feel called inside of their beautiful bodies to express themselves in this sport. So you join a particular sport. You are maybe identified by a talented coach and you begin that journey in that sport. You join as a member in the more organized structure. That organized structure is then likely governed and regulated by a national governing body. So let's look at, in particular, United States Gymnastics, which, like many governing bodies, has been in the news for several years, good and bad. So there is the appearance that this national governing body, through their website, through their materials, their publicity, their PR, social media, that they are 100% for, by, and created to support athletes. That is how it's presented, and that's what it looks like online, in paper, and in theory. there's even on, especially United States gymnastics, there is the ability for a parent, a guardian, even the athlete to go onto their website. And if they have a complaint of abuse, be it physical, psychological, even sexual, or some other complaint, they can go onto the website for the governing body, USA Gymnastics, and fill out an online complaint quick, fast. And you can then expect for an investigator or an official at that governing body, in our example, United States Gymnastics, to contact you to learn about your complaint, and an investigation will be started. Now, here is some clarity that I want supporters of athletes, parents to understand. National governing bodies, their finance, their business model, their revenue is based on memberships. Memberships are paid by the coaches. Revenue is also given to them through sponsorship and through fees paid by the athletes. Another important piece of the business model of national governing bodies is the ability to win medals, gold medals, silver, bronze, world championships. These medals are, of course, they are the result of the hard work and the wins of these athletes, many of them minors. So with that comes this built-in inherent conflict of interest. The governing bodies, on one hand, their members are the coaches. On the other hand, they are stating that they exist to protect and only promote the athletes. The revenues, the business model is based on these two groups. So when you as a parent or you as an athlete make a complaint, ask for an investigation against a coach that has crossed the line or is engaging in unacceptable coaching practices, you are asking an organization to conduct an investigation into itself. And history has shown that that is a very poor model for justice on the part of a victim. A similar or an analogous situation would be asking a law enforcement agency or police, a prosecutor's office, to investigate themselves. Usually, historically, there are aberrations. There are instances where it has worked out in favor, or there has been, you know, fairness on the part of the victim. But usually, if you're asking an organization to investigate itself, it doesn't bode very well. Another point of clarification that parents and supporters of the athletes need to be aware of is the fact that national governing bodies are not state agencies. These are private organizations. They're run privately. Some could be, some of these organizations may be nonprofits, but they are private. So when you feel that you, meaning you have the individual who has been abused, mistreated, when you're making this complaint, because of the way we think as humans, we think that we are reaching out to an authority figure that's going to intervene and is going to put a stop to this maltreatment or this abuse. Remember, this is not a state agency. These are not police officers. These are not detectives. They are being paid by the coaches' dues, by sponsors. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about the appropriate individual that you need to file a complaint with. You don't even necessarily, you being the victim, you don't even have to file a complaint with the national governing body. You can go directly to outside law enforcement, the police, a prosecutor's office in your state. So be very clear that when you file, when you're seeking some type of redress or remedy from a national governing body, that they are limited in what they can do. And they're also limited by that, what I call and what I have seen to be that inherent conflict of interest. They are serving the interest by their very nature. They're serving the interest of the member coaches and also seeking to continue to gain revenues on behalf of, by and through, the athletes, and doing that while attempting to protect in some way, or as they state in some of their materials online, you can read it yourself, or through public relations, to protect the athlete. So they are inherently conflicted. So remember that when you're thinking about where you should file a complaint, who you believe should begin that investigation. And it doesn't always have to start with the national governing body. So that's one thing that I wanted to clarify about these national governing bodies and who they are and the roles that they play. One of the most notable failures comes from the governing bodies of United States Swimming and USA Gymnastics in relation to, we saw in USA Gymnastics with Larry Nassar and the complaints that were being made there by parents, by athletes for years, years before. Complaints were being made directly to the coaches. There were complaints being made to United States Gymnastics. There were investigations that United States Gymnastics stated that they were lodging and that they were handling. But we see that because of that conflict on the part of these national governing bodies, that these investigations were not full, they were not robust, and they did not work in favor of the athlete. You had a similar situation in United States Swimming, where you saw failures on the part of that governing body to fully protect the athletes, to launch complete investigations, and to hold perpetrators accountable. And what happens when these national governing bodies do not either use the tools that they have, and they do have tools within their own organizations. They have tools such as interim measures that are often found in the bylaws, codes, or rules within these national governing bodies. And these interim measures would allow a national governing body by themselves of their own authority to suspend, remove, or even require that a coach that has allegations pending, that there's some type of supervision just during the course of investigation. By no means am I saying that every coach that ever has an allegation lodged against them has done that, but an investigation should happen. And then based on that, and based on how robust and full that investigation is, there could be, you know, the remedies will warrant that. But there's one thing that has to be made clear. It's that these governing bodies, they do have tools to launch investigations. Whether they use those tools, if they use them, and if they don't use them, the athlete and the parents should understand that history is showing that the majority of the governing bodies are not currently. There is still not the culture where governing bodies are getting these complaints from the athletes and they're following through with one singular purpose. And that's to investigate non-biased, without secrecy, without cover-up, and without transparency. That has not happened. Maybe it will happen in the future. And until that time when it does happen, parents have to be aware that there are other options for them to pursue other than going with and just staying with the national governing bodies to investigate claims of abuse. And those other options, as I was stating before, may be a civil action filed in civil court, speaking with an attorney to do that, speaking with an attorney and pursuing and considering the option of going to police, depending on the type of claim, or going to the prosecutor's office, depending on what the allegations are. And of course, the immediate concern is retaliation. It is the concerns of thinking about, will this end the career of my child? Those are very serious concerns. Those are concerns that you're going to want to map out, have an action plan for, a strategy for, and discuss all of your options. I've done some other episodes on retaliation by coaches when your community leaves you because you are part of this community at this elite level, and what happens, how that can be thought of, and an action plan for that. Listen to those episodes just to give you kind of a high level overview of some of the issues and some of the options. And of course, you'll want to speak to your different professionals, be it legal, therapeutic professionals that can help you work through this problem, these situations that will come up when abuse does happen. So I hope that just clarifying what national governing bodies are, their roles, their limitations, their historical limitations, their cultural limitations, where they are, have conflicts of interest in pursuing a matter robustly, and the options that you have as parent, supporter, and athlete. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you found this helpful, please send it, this episode, to others. Share it. Don't forget to like and rate and review this podcast so that we grow and that others can listen and share in. Head on over to Facebook to our community and engage there with us. We love your questions, comments, and even your concerns. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Legally Brief podcast. Remember to join Judy and fellow listeners at the Legally Brief Facebook group. Contact Judy at judy@jsaunderslawfirm.com. Remember, there is no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way it treats its children.
All information and content in this podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. Nothing in this podcast shall constitute legal advice and shall not create an attorney-client relationship. This information is general and may not be applicable to your particular circumstances. You should review your particular circumstances with an attorney. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this podcast is hereby expressly disclaimed.